Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now, and more than 60 others, can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dum Dums and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 4 weekly podcasts: Dum Dums and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, and Warhammer 40,000 The Valentine Heresy, as well as 4 event podcasts with mini-series releases at staggered intervals: Curse Code and Crown, Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dum Dums and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumdumdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dum Dums and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pot, get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dum Dums and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. That's D-U-M-B, D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back, redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, initiates, to the Mythos Mysteries, a live play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imaginings. I am H.P. Helmfirth, your host on this journey into darkness. The Mystery Punchers have begun traveling back to their hometown, having survived their trip to the Big Apple. Red confessed what happened at the church in their past. Richter is determined that the group needs to attend the King in Yellow, and Adrian talked his way into ownership of their ray gun. So venture forth with us, dear friends, into the mythos.
Mystery Punchers, you have picked up a hitchhiker, essentially, a man whose car is broken down on the side of the road. Father Patrick O'Houlihan, who is on his way to Helmfirth on some sort of mission, And has he has just asked you all if you know anything about the Croatoan. What do you think your response is to this? Do you is this a kind of thing you'd be open about? Would you ask him more about it? What's the tactic? Knowing that you don't actually have any time to confer on this, it's just kind of a whoever speaks first leads the way.
I think Adrian would just say no, but he just doesn't remember. So for him, that's a legitimate answer.
I mean, that's leading the way then. So we just get a big no, and then...
No, I think Red would kind of expect that answer from him and just be like, we might have heard of it. What exactly are your plans for it in town?
He nods, seemingly almost to himself, says, well, it is interesting to hear that you have heard of the Croatoan. Not many seem to know. At least you're going into Helmfirth with your eyes wide open. I fear most of the populace has no idea what they're living on top of. But again, these are all theories, unproven rumors, intrigues that I hope to uncover, that I hope to stop. If indeed what I believe is occurring, then there are a great many souls in danger.
And what exactly do you believe is occurring?
I appreciate the ride. I see no reason to draw you into one of these ethereal matters of life and death. I merely ask that when you drop me off, you make haste away from Helmfirth as quickly as you can. Things are about to go rather badly there, I fear.
Our house is there.
You live in Helmfirth?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Might I recommend a vacation?
Sir, I will be blunt with you. We are perhaps a little bit more embroiled with this Croatoan than my friend Adrian initially led you to believe. And frankly, since there is no way that we are going to be leaving this town, I would genuinely appreciate any advice or information you could give us.
And his eyes kind of narrow, and he kind of just clicks the edges of his briefcase. Like he's got kind of a briefcase is the wrong term, kind of like one of those big old-timey medical bags. So just kind of clicks the clasps on that. He says, embroiled, you say, with the Croatoan. And he starts to reach into the bag.
Is he in the backseat?
Yeah,
he is, yep.
I'm going to reach back and kind of just put my hand on top of the trunk, like on top of his bag, and just say, hold on now, I would advise against that. We mean you no harm. Frankly, any harm that we mean is going against the Croatoan itself, if it is an it.
Richter, you've been oddly silent during this exchange. Do you think you would chime in at all during this, or would you let...
He's got questions, but if he's reading the situation right, people might start shooting each other, so he's not exactly interested in asking them just yet.
I think what I would say is if you're reading the situation correctly, there seems to be a drastic misunderstanding in the works that could possibly be solved by clarifying your relationship to the Croatoan. Given Red's sort of traditional we're on it, fuck off approach, which weirdly, I think, Richter, for you would also have turned you off. It would have been just like, okay, well, have at it. that's what you're picking up. You can choose whether to intercede or not, but I think that's what you're getting.
Okay, then maybe I'll just a little too loudly say, the Croatoan has taken a dear, dear friend of ours. And am I correct in assuming, Father, that the church has sent you to, and you alone, to deal with this Croatoan situation?
he nods kind of solemnly, with a bit of a sidelong glance to Red, just kind of pulls his hand back out of the bag and closes it. He says, well, I'm truly sorry to hear that the creature has your friend. I have spent the majority of my life attempting to release people from the grip of such beings, such creatures, and often it leaves them quite damaged or destroyed, as well as the families that surround them. So you have my deep condolences. I will help you if I can. Yes, the Croatoan is I believe it to be a tremendous threat. Many in the church do not think as I do not believe as I do. They see all of these matters as God versus the devil, Lucifer versus the angels, and so on and so forth. But I fear that the world is quite a deal stranger than that, quite a bit darker. And as a result, I and a few of my colleagues have been working to ascertain what is actually going on. Unfortunately, many in my sect do not believe me, so I am the only one who's been allowed to travel here, but I am hoping to do some good, at least to delay what I fear may be inevitable, the reawakening of the forgotten god, the betrayed one.
This god is known as the betrayed one to you as well?
From my readings and from what little I've been able to ascertain, yes, there seems to be talk of an old one, one of the creatures that some believe lived here long ago, before any other creatures began to inhabit the earth. It clashes tremendously with my own faith, you must understand, but when the evidence points me in a direction, I fear I must tread that dark path until it's ending. The Croatoan, as I understand it, does not appear in most of the records. Many of the cults that have sprung up to worship these ancient creatures do not mention it. It is redacted, in a way, from history itself. That said, my research has suggested that there was, in fact, an additional old one known as the Croatoan, also known as the Pluriform Oculus, or the Thousand-Eyed Cyclops. An ancient creature that was, if my research is correct, betrayed by its kind. And it is my belief that though it was killed far from here, that this is Helmfirth, is where it died, that its body has poisoned the very earth itself. And if what you are saying is true, it may have found a way to force itself back into existence, though thought dead by its peers. If this is the case, then your entire town is under incredible threat, as I fear is the world.
Well, frankly, this is just helping me my assertion that we just need to shoot the mayor in the head.
Forgive me, the mayor?
Right. You have a lot to catch up on, Father.
And he just kind of gives kind of like a, for lack of a better term, a Kermit the Frog, like, proceeds to kind of shut up as you brief him quickly on what's been going on. Yeah, Ryan, you look so like you want to say something.
Tally Joe Huckstrap was a robot, and then there was a fish woman in the lake, and she ate a guy's hand or something. And then we tried to kill the mayor, but fell into New York. And then when we were there, I became King Arthur, and now we're going back to shoot the mayor in the head. I don't know where you get lost in this, but that's what's happening.
Uhulahan nods and says, that was perhaps more confusing than edifying, but also quite interesting. Sounds like you've had quite the adventure.
Yep. I gotta get my donkeys back.
Donkeys are useful.
I agree. I like to pet them.
Fair enough. He just kind of pats you on the shoulder.
So what are your next steps here, Father? We have ours, but I'd be curious to know exactly how you plan on dealing with an entire cult bent on reawakening some ancient creature.
He does legitimately kind of scratch the back of his head in vexation and just says, well, it would seem that the threat is greater and more complex than I had initially thought. My primary training is in the forbidden and secretive art of exorcism, and my hope was to determine if there were any places where the Croatoan held particular sway that I could perhaps loosen its grip on, in the hopes of at least delaying it from clawing its way back into our reality. I'd hoped to make inquiries around town to see if I could ascertain where any of these sites might be, and to work my trade there. Also to see if anyone had fallen under the sway of such a creature. My understanding is that the poison that has been left by the Croatone has likely created something of a nexus point, something that draws supernatural elements toward it, elements of the mythos. As residents of the town, surely you've seen a number of strange things occur on Helmfirth.
Well, I do believe you just heard Addy talking about a fish person, so...
Fair enough.
And the robot. Oh, okay, so spooky places. Well, there is the church. It is very spooky. And Grandpa saw a map that showed supernatural ley lines or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, ley lines. Very good, Adrian, yeah.
So he could probably tell you what buildings were on or near the lines.
Excellent. Well, that would be a good place to start. Also, are the donkeys supernatural? I understand the robot, was it, and the fish person, but are they humans trapped in donkey form? Do they
no.
require exorcism?
No, we're going to leave the donkeys for now, Father.
Don't worry, they're with my friend, Wackadoo Willie.
Who we will be talking about later.
Excellent.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica.
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents.
Or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks' home, because now we have a brand new podcast. Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favorite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
Richard, you had some questions.
One of the main ones was just I wanted to know how you came to be assigned this task, and you alone. This is not a job for one person, Father. And you are saying that there are those within your church who acknowledge the threat of old ones, as you say?
And he kind of nods and says, there are only a few of us, and we are indeed scattered across the globe, unfortunately, which makes working together somewhat more difficult. I'd hoped to receive help from the Vatican itself, but I was met with silence. I have my suspicions that they are aware and have their own means of dealing with this, but unfortunately it does not extend to a, for lack of a better term, colonial priest such as myself. America is a young country in the greater scheme of things, and it means that occasionally when thinking of great and grand designs, despite everything this great country has managed to achieve in its short life, the horrors of Rome, of buried in the soil of France and England, Germany, these are where the Vatican turns its eyes. The secrets of the Middle East, not young countries like yours or mine or the one north of us or even south of us. They, unfortunately, are so fixated on the grand scheme of history that they've forgotten that these places, too, are ancient. And admittedly, though a country has been built on top of them, they have a history all their own. In terms of how I got this particular gig, several of my last exorcisms have shifted in tone somewhat. often I would encounter hoaxes, people just wrapped up in traumas that had nothing to do with supernatural influence. But lately, the word Croatoan has been on many creatures' lips, as has
creatures.
Nyarlathotep, the name Cthulhu, strange names that have led me down this rabbit hole of research, as it were. Once again, my access to records has been somewhat limited, but there are certain benefits to being in my order that I've made the most of. But nevertheless, it fell to me to try and solve it if anyone was going to, using what meager powers I have. Again, I don't believe I can stem the tide, but I may be able to at least slow it.
Father, do you have equipment or training to defend yourself from both mortal, martial enemies and supernatural ones?
He pats the bag and says, yes, I have been able to, in my line of work as an exorcist, I've been able to obtain a few holy relics that hold some power. As well, I have read of some admittedly heretical incantations that can be used. I must admit, and possibly only to the three of you, since you seem to be somewhat in the shit, as it were, with me, I like to believe that these incantations are a representation of faith. But in my darker moments, I acknowledge I'm likely tapping the very power I seek to stop. But yes, I do have some means of defending myself as well as repelling these creatures.
Well, that is very fascinating, Faza. I must say, and I tap the shoulders of Red and Addy in front of me, and I say, these two are well versed in the practice of martial defense and offense. However, I am the group's occult and
scholar.
Yes, thank you.
He's our grandpa.
Yeah, Addy, I am the grandpa. Yeah,
Teach him one of your poems.
And I am somewhat ashamed to say that I have not been pulling my weight up to this point. We have encountered increasingly cryptid and mythical happenings and creatures, and I have not been able to adequately assist and aid my friends. I have very much information, however. Perhaps if you do not have a place to stay yet, Father O'Houlihan, I have a home in Helmfort. We could perhaps exchange resources and help each other.
That would be excellent. I had planned on checking into a motel. As I understand, they are like a hotel, but you drive yourself up. It's very strange, but I would greatly appreciate an exchange of ideas. It has been some time since I've met anyone else who has further information. What I have gained is mostly from old texts and first-hand demonic possessions, which, needless to say, are not a particularly fruitful place to learn. I would greatly appreciate that, Grandpa Richard.
But that is what.
Do you want to see a play? Because we have to see a play, we promised.
Well, perhaps I shall leave you to that while I get set up and can put my records in order, so you'll have an easier time learning what I know, Grandpa, if that is your preferred moniker.
Do I feel compelled to make him see this play?
Not as compelled as you did with the other two. Your excitement is still palpable. I think the main difference is you probably have a similar exchange with him that you had with them to compel him to come. But due to the kind of new relationship you formed with him, like it doesn't have quite the same effect.
Okay.
So as he kind of politely declines your invitation to the play, come up on the ridge leading down into Helmfirth. You can see kind of the entire town laid out before you. The water not too far away, low-hanging clouds, as is often the way in Helmfirth. But weirdly, from this sort of high point coming into the town, you can also see there are a number of, for lack of a better term, like blots on the city, or on the town rather, sections that have been clearly demolished. You can see a flurry of activity as several sites seem to have active construction occurring on them. It's still kind of early phases of construction because you haven't really been gone that long, but things seem to be moving ahead at a rather at a clip, as it were.
And all of this construction is new since we went to New York?
Yeah.
Okay.
As you pull into town, where do you go first? Your kind of main three sites are, of course, the Curiosity Shop. You've got Richter's home, and you've got the Diesel residence. Which of these would you go to first?
Tom, quick question. Is this the beginning of, one could say, a new adventure where luck may perhaps be regenerated from a car ride?
Yep. I was going to do that when we hit a place to like
even better.
But
we'll
no. No, let's do it right now. It's all good. So yes, this is a new session. You've had some time to recover in the car. You have your temporary hit points from the previous session, but go ahead and roll for luck.
Ooh.
Oh.
So if my luck is 37 and I rolled a 5, what does that mean?
That means you get to add
less to it. You want to roll over it to add more.
Damn it.
Yeah, equal or less, you get 1d10 plus 5.
Okay.
If you rolled over it, you get 2d10 plus 10.
13. Yeah. So I am up at 50.
Mine is so low and I still rolled under it, but now when I rolled my 1d10 plus 5, I've doubled it. I've doubled my...
Great.
Mine has increased an infinite amount because I had 0 and now have 22.
Welcome back.
I'll use that up to get some sort of pet. Let's get.
You can all gain. I rolled high. You can all gain back 4 actual hit points from the car ride.
Okay. So I was at 6 temporary, I believe.
Yep. So I'll let you bring it up to 14 you were just at 6 because you were at 0, right?
No, I was at 2.
Okay.
Or, yeah. And then
you're at 2. So now you have 6 actual hit points.
Okay, great.
And you have 4 temporary hit points. So for a total of 10.
Damn. Hmm.
So I'm imagining if Adrian's driving, he would want to drop off new friend. That would be his first priority. And then probably go straight to the play. I don't think Addie's worried about like going home. They don't have anything in the car they need to unpack, like if they've got this premiere.
Yeah, that's true. Is the premiere today? Like
We'll say it's later tonight, but you do have time to prepare. Like it will say you've arrived, you drove through the night swapping off. It was also only a 4-hour drive. So you've got some time to get settled before the play.
Okay,
well, it's like early afternoon when you arrived.
I would like to get new clothes, number one. And also, no offense to Adrian's remarkable dressing skills, but just to refresh my memory, the leader of this town is the leader of a rival, like the town, like police now is like my rival gang leader from...
Donnie Splinter, who has broken off from...
Capone.
Yeah, it's broken off from Capone and is now the chief of police under Montgomery Greaves.
Right. So we can basically safely assume that, like, if he sees us, he will arrest us.
It's a safe assumption, also based on the fact that Greaves used, during, like, the attack on Tallahassee and everyone else, he used shoelaces. So, like, yeah, he best to stay kind of incognito for now.
Okay.
I'll warn Father O'Houlihan of that as well, that to be careful of the mayor and those around him, plus the chief of police.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I'll also say that
I'll give him the key to my house.
I think for ease of thinking about this, you would assume that Red and Adrian would likely be kind of like arrested on site. Richter, you might have some wiggle room. Despite your shop being attacked, you're not quite as high profile as they are.
You can use the secret power of ageism for people to assume that you're not part of this thing shooting at them.
Perfect. I would still warn him, though, about the mayor.
Oh, of course. Yeah. No, it's sound. Okay, so you drop Houlihan off at Richter's house. When you arrive at Richter's place, you find another ornate box similar to the one that you found Devin's hand in.
Oh, the hand, okay.
With a fancy engraved letter A.
Oh, we'll collect that.
These are just being left around for us. By who?
We know that. We know who that is.
I used my decoder ring. It's some sort of Arkham Asylum or something.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, but it's still, we don't know who is like physically placing.
Maybe it's someone named Adam or Amanda. Or
the name you have is the Ambrosia Foundation.
Ambrosia, there we go.
Ambrosia.
Hey everybody, Tom McGee here, your friendly neighborhood DM, and I just wanted to thank you so much for listening to our shows. I hope you're having a great time. Obviously we are. I'm probably really stressed because they're probably doing something horrible to me right now, but I hope you're enjoying it, and we're enjoying you being here. And listen, if you want to get a little bit more involved in our show and with the various things we do, you can check out
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice.
Where you can find more information about how you can become a part of the show, how you can screw with me on air, how you can add names and all that sort of stuff. And it's a great way to support us in our ongoing dumb adventures. So thanks very much for joining us, and I will see you out there in the dumbverse.
Great. So you collect
the
box.
They're outside of Helmfrith too. Yeah. So we'll collect the box and
Addy will open it. What's in it?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody roll. No. There is inside. There is a letter that has been sort of carefully folded and sealed. Adrian, when you try and open the letter, you find it. You can't. The seal is like it's almost like it's been plasticized, and the seal just isn't working for you. You do notice though that the seal seems to be soft.
You probably just give it to Richter because I think Addy's not a guy who tried. He'd be like, it's sticky. And he just hand it over.
Okay, I'll try to open it.
Cool. As you're fumbling around with it, your thumb touches the edge of the seal and it begins to sort of close around your thumb a bit. So you pull your thumb back and the seal just kind of returns to its original flat, completely blank shape.
So I say we put that weird thing back in the box and deal with it in a more appropriate time.
What if we put Benny's thumb on it?
Well, I don't want whatever may happen to one of us to happen to Benny. He's certainly
that's true.
Been through a lot already.
Yeah, Richter, can you roll a spot hidden, please?
67. I think that's still a success. It is. Success.
Okay. As you pulled your thumb away, you actually saw script begin to appear on the outside of the letter. You saw just the letter H had started to appear and then disappeared as soon as you pulled your thumb away.
Then I'll stick my thumb on it. What the fuck?
Cool. So it wraps around your thumb and a curling script sort of gradually almost soaks into the page that just says, hello, Mr. Richter. And then the seal comes loose and the paper loses its plasticization. It just becomes straight paper and the letter pops open. Inside, you find a note written by Devin. He outlines that he was indeed kidnapped, which kind of sucked, along with the former mayor. However, after you didn't respond to their threat with the fake hand, they got to talking, he basically says, I think they might really be able to help us. I've gained some incredible insights from their offices here. And actually, I'm maybe kind of working with them now. Regardless, I know you guys are working on some stuff, and admittedly, I don't love the methodology they use to recruit me, but I think these guys could be of great help. When you've wrapped up things in Helmfirth, come find me in Arkham, and we can talk. I don't know that this is getting me any closer to Benny, but it is getting me closer to a lot of the things that I've been tracking for a long time now that are kind of happening behind the scenes. So when you've wrapped your business, come find me and we'll talk. P.S. The old mayor says hi. Turns out he was an agent of them for a really long time, but he has written the entire city office a lost cause. So please be extraordinarily careful.
I relay all of this to the other two in the car on our way to the show. I'm assuming that's what we're doing right next, right?
We gotta go get clothes for rent.
Right. On the way to a clothing store.
So yeah, clothing store, or would you have clothes stored at Adrian's house?
I mean, I don't think I would unless I'm borrowing like his mother's old clothes or something like that.
Okay. So we'll go to a store. You drive into downtown Helmfirth, beautiful, beautiful, sunny downtown Helmfirth, shop local. And Richter, as has been the case the last few times, you get a bit of a general sense of disappointment and sort of anxiety as the car kind of rolls toward the curiosity shop. I don't think you think of geographical places as having too much significance, but the shop being destroyed really was like a strike against kind of your very sense of self.
Mm-hmm.
So similar to, you know, people who have cafes they run that have closed down and like they have to walk past it every day and it's like a shoe store now and you're like, God damn it. There's a bit of a sense of that as the car pulls into downtown Helmfirth. Until you approach the curiosity shop itself, and you're surprised to find what looks almost like a professional grade remodeling done on the exterior of the store. The windows have all been replaced. The facade has been replaced. The sign has been touched up. And there are coming soon signs in the windows announcing the new and improved Helmfirth curiosities.
Wait, Adrian, pull over, please.
Okay, I'll just do that.
That's funny, I didn't realize you'd sold the place.
I did not.
Do you think it'll be a shoe store now?
I don't know, Adrian, maybe, and I'll get out of the car.
Yeah.
I want to see what's going on with my store.
Cool. So you approach the front of the store, and you notice that the lock is the same. So the door has been swapped out, but the lock is the same.
I'm going to unlock the door if I can.
Yep. The lock turns. It's that same old lock you've been using forever. The door swings open, and inside, the shop has been cleaned up. Everything has been meticulously put on shelving in a way that I think you actually find very troublesome because it's...
Yes. It's no far one else to be putting their fucking paws on this shit.
Orderly.
Only in a German accent.
Yeah.
Scheiße.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of, you find...
Should we follow him inside? Adrian just says, sitting behind the wheel, waiting with Red in the car.
Oh, yes. Sorry, I just assumed... I shouldn't assume that Red was accompanying him. So, yes, I leave the car and gesture.
Oh, okay.
Great. So, Richter, as you begin to... like, I think you'd probably immediately go to, like, the front desk and the back. Everything's been tidied up, the blood's gone, the floor's been redone, like it's really nice in here now. You find a letter waiting for you kind of on the counter. There's a skull that you always kept behind the counter just kind of resting on it to keep it in place. And as you pick it up, you see an odd there's a lot of seals in this episode, I apologize. A seal on the back that seems to have a Buddhist symbol that's been cranked to the left for some reason. You vaguely recall reading about it in reports of kind of the the nascent Nazi party back home. But this one seems to have sort of eagle wings both above it and below it. And there seem to almost be what could be either rays of sun behind it or just some, there's just some oddness to it. It's a symbol you're not familiar with. Aside from seeing it stamped on the ray gun. So as you break the seal inside, you find a simple card that says in German, Mr. Richter, hi, I noticed you've taken a leave of absence and I was truly upset about what happened to your store. So I called in some favors and spent a little bit of the boundless wealth of the fatherland to touch it up a bit for you. I've made some small improvements that I hope you'll like. Most notably, the windows are now fully bulletproof, as well as the facade is protected by some of the little tricks that Das Führer has given us to keep things safe. So you'll now find that your beloved store is a bit more of a fortress than it was before. I have set the code word to sealing the store against outside intruders to a beloved phrase that I would encourage you to really embrace in your heart. You can change it if you see fit, but it will require a bit of blood just touched to the door. But until then, remember, the father will keep you safe. All you have to do is say Heil Hitler. Yours in love of the fatherland, Reinheimer. P.S. Please hurry. Time waits for no man. Well, except for me.
I look around my store and I sort of just very quietly mutter, Heil Hitler.
There is a, you can see almost a pulse, come off of you as you say it, that seems to travel through the floor. Everything shimmers briefly. The windows shimmer slightly and, almost like, seeing oil on water. The, front of the store kind of shimmers, a little bit. And Adrian, we'll say you were like bringing up the rear as you sort of march proudly into the store. The door immediately slams and you bounce off of it.
He'll reach out and try to open the door.
Adrian, can you hear me?
He cannot.
He's going to yank on that knob on the door real hard.
Yeah, it is rock solid. Also, the store looks abandoned inside now. Like just a second ago, you could see Red and Richter, but now they're gone.
I'm just going to turn to Richter and say, first things first, if I may, and just gesture to the door and go over and let Adrian in before he starts like punching the glass.
Cool. Since you're on the inside, you're able to open the door.
What? But I thought it was empty. What?
Magic, Adrian.
Oh.
Also, and then he'll just walk in.
I will say, Richter, I think you know enough about sort of the rise of the Nazi party and Hitler, who again is just like a weird chancellor, I think at this point. He's not really world stagey.
Yeah,
in 33. Like he's on his way up, but he isn't all the way there yet. But from what you do know, you don't care for this guy's politics one bit.
No, and also I don't want anyone else knowing. Like I don't want
it's like saying here's your password. I'm the only one who knows your password, but keep it the same.
Yeah. When like Bell or Rogers give you your password, you're like, okay, I'm going to change this so that Bell and Rogers don't know my password.
Can't like get on my Wi-Fi. Yeah.
Adrian will just pick up the skull and go, alas, poor Yorick. I knew him, Horatio.
It's just for Halloween. I just put it back down.
Adrian, you bash your nose off the door as you came in. So you kind of like left some drops of blood on the way in. You see the blood sort of fizzle and hiss, and in German, sort of a voice echoes loosely through the space, saying, "New passphrase has been accepted. Alas, alas, poor Yorick, I knew him, Horatio. Blood sacrifice accepted."
My nose hurts.
Richter, I do not like the sound of. what kind of favors this man is going to ask of you because of what he's done for this job.
I don't need a favor just because I ran into the door. I'm good.
Red, this is not the first favor he has granted me. The ray gun there was also a gift from Reinheimer. He is quite fervently pushing for my cooperation with some project surrounding my sister that I do not know many details about.
And yes. He is
in his letter here, he is wishing for me to finish my other dealings and tasks post haste. He is.
What's your sister's name?
Ingrid. Adrian.
Oh, good. I was worried it was Kroatoka.
No, that is not my sister's name. That is not anyone's name. Remember, we are trying to learn more and get Sally back from Croatoan.
Yeah, I just thought maybe your sister was the Kroatoka, and then we'd be done.
Richter, you know that this Reinheimer is going to come and ask you to repay him, right? That's what these kind of men do.
Yeah. What if you invite him and then we shoot him with the ray gun?
For some reason, I don't think shooting this man is going to end his life.
I just wanted to put him to sleep.
This man works with my sister, who I have not seen in many, many years.
Not even at Christmas?
Not even at Christmas.
Oh, Adrian. No. Your mom would be so sad if she knew that.
Well, my mother is dead, Adrian. I am 70 years old.
I am so sorry.
It happened a long time ago, Adrian. It is all right. It is all right.
For me, it still feels like yesterday, you know, when my parents went. So I can only imagine what it feels like for you. I'm sorry.
Do you want a hug, Adrian? Do you want to have a big hug?
Yeah, I do.
I'll bring in the big hug for him. And kind of over his shoulder, I'm still talking to Red. Be like, I know he's coming.
Yeah, Red is looking really uncomfortable with all of this. With all due respect to your sister, Richter, if she's messed up with the kind of people who are doing blood sacrifices for passwords, I don't know if you just trotting over to Germany is the best thing you can do right now. I'm not going to stop you, but I sincerely hope you've considered the consequences.
There are so many questions unanswered, Red. If my sister's work has resulted in things like this protective incantation, if her work has lent itself to the if her work has lent itself to the destructive power we assume, or we have been told by the ice cream man of that ray gun, then I don't want to hurt her by harming someone in her organization. They know that we are connected and related, and if I act out, I don't know if that will come down on her.
Okay, so we'll do this for your mom. We'll go see a play. We'll beat the Kroatoka. We'll go to Germany and save your sister, and then we'll kill Hitler.
No one's saying kill Hitler.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, you're saying kill, like not put to sleep. You're saying...
No, he sounds very bad. He kidnapped your sister. She didn't even get to go to Christmas.
Wow. Okay. All right.
These are active concerns that I would like to put a pin in as a concern for a future time when not needing to go see a play. But definitely worth keeping on the board. Because...
Yeah, that's a play, Kroatoka, then Hitler.
Yeah. Or at the very least, figuring out what is going on with Reinheimer, which is a more local solution you can actually accomplish, because it's not very easy to travel the world right now. But first things first, my friends, you have a play to get to. The curtain will be rising soon, and you know, much like if you're a boomer in Toronto going to see a play, you gotta dress up. So first things first, Red, let's go get you some fancy threads.
This episode of the Mythos Mysteries features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, and Keeper Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra. And the Mythos Mysteries show logo was created by Decapitated Marker at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are Dark Alleys and Sentinel by Kai Engel. And our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, JAHZZAR. And all of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are dumdumdice. And on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. All hail the mythos.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lorda Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Broadcasting, this is Roger Bergato Fisher, communications, something, Moonbase, wherever.
You guys can sort out the next thing. I need to get the rover checked and loaded. Jung?
On it, boss.
Excuse me?
If communication still makes a difference at this point in the plot, if we can keep this base or this moon together long enough to be a thing.
I changed my direction. I worked my way down. I took those scraps. The bits they'd forgotten about are thrown away, and I built my own place. Still inside, but within the shadows.
All my thoughts, my hopes, all of my heart is on a makeshift rocket hurtling towards us with the most precious of cargo.
We'll definitely deserve a celebration.
Not like yours. You and your boy down there? I hope he's got a private room waiting.
It'll be enough to be close again. Ah, meu amado.
When I have Alex back in my arms, maybe then I can think about resistance.
We've kept the corporations at arm's length longer than most.
Well, whatever you're building, here or wherever, I'm in.
Any way we can help.
It feels like we're approaching the closing stage of this journey. The final stop. But either way, it's been one hell of a story. And either way, it ends with Alex.
Moonbase Theta out. The final season. Broadcasting on your podcast feeds starting August 14th. For early access, join us at patreon.com/monkeymanproductions.
Moonbase Theta out.